Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you for being here and waiting patiently as I work through some of the gremlins here. My goodness, to try to get us live. 5 minutes late, but I am here. Hopefully, I'm coming through loud and clear. On my end, things were getting glitchy when I first started to go up and get live, and I had to switch browsers and try again, and I hope that I'm coming through loud and clear for you as more and more people are chiming in. You can email me if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. You can do that going to FSHD Radio at fshdsociety.org. We have a great story for you in this show as we welcome in Frank Hanley. He's going to be our main guest. We're going to go old school. We're not going through Zoom today. I want to have him on the phone line because, for me, the Zoom show was interesting and needed last episode where we had a huge group roundtable forum, you know, talking about the ADA 30 years. Amazing information, a lot I didn't even know about. And we had Melissa and Carden and Danny and Howard Chabner all on, and we talked about the ADA 30 American, you know, Disabilities Act when it was formed in 1990 and 30 years later. So it was interesting, no question. And I was glad that we did the show. From the audio side, I think some people thought it was a little bit quiet, and I hope today it's coming in clear right now. Hoping those that want to chime in do. You can use the Facebook page as well in the chat room, because from my viewpoint, things look like they're going live, but sometimes, you know, things get a little glitchy. So either way, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here joining us. Today, you know, is I think going to be an episode where we're going to have to open our minds a little bit and definitely be open-minded. And Frank Hanley, he is going to come on. He's the South Carolina chapter. I'm going to have to look, double check. I'm making sure I'm all over the place now. To make sure that you know, when he comes in and talks a little bit about what he uses to work through FSHD, South Carolina chapter, yes, and he's their chapter director, but he also uses Qigong, which I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and Kung Fu to work through some of the pain, probably discomfort, the soreness. I'm not going to speak for him. That's why he's going to be on the show, but that's what we're going to talk about. And it's maybe unconventional for some. And, you know, if there's critics out there that want to know, like, how do I use that? How do I do that? Or maybe perhaps you want to be a little bit of a skeptic and say, how could that really help? I mean, this is a DNA issue. This is a disease that wastes our muscles. How could that help? So I'm excited to have him in a couple minutes to have him talk a little bit about that aspect of it and all those things. So start loading up your questions now, right? He sent me some we're going to definitely cover, and he's going to tell us a little bit about himself, his FSHD story, as well as Qigong and Kung Fu and how that helps him. Very interesting. Very interesting. Don't forget, too, to mark your calendar. September 12th, we're going to do the virtual walk and roll. We'll be doing that through Zoom. It did work, despite any glitches we had in the past when we tried to do the live virtual walk with San Diego. We worked those things out. So guess what? September, we're going to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great guests in store. Max Adler is our walk ambassador. So check it all out through fshdsociety.org. All there for you. So what I want to do is let's get Frank on the horn. So I'm going to kind of put us on a little break, right? And then we're going to dial Frank up. And what I'm excited for is that this is definitely a subject matter that we have not covered in the past. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to Frank and to get his take on what he does to help himself through FSHD by using these treatments and all that. So let's take our break. We come back, we'll get Frank on the horn in the meanwhile. So if you're watching live, you get to see how we do that here in the break. And yeah, you're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.
My name is Allison Calder, and I have been the Utah Chapter Director and Walk and Roll Leader since January of 2019.
Hi, my name is Amy Beckier. I'm an FSHD Society board member for about, I think, 8 years now, and a chapter director in San Diego for 3.
Hi there, my name is Ann Babcock, and I am the Colorado Walk and Roll Coordinator, and I have been since January of this year.
My name is Amanda Hill, and I am the director of the Colorado chapter of the FSHD Society.
I'm Heloise Hoffman, and I'm Southwest Florida chapter director since August of 2019.
Hey guys, Jack Gerblick here. I'm the Atlanta chapter director. I started the chapter back in 2018.
My name is Kathy Sonnicol. I've been a chapter director since 2017.
Hi, I'm Mark Christman, director of the Western Pennsylvania chapter.
Hi, my name is Minette Hale, and I am the Idaho chapter director and Idaho walk and roll leader as of this year, January 2020.
Hi, I'm Rachel Sarton, and I'm excited to be a brand new chapter director here in Central Texas.
Hi everyone, my name is Taylor Quigg, and I am a 2020 walk and roll coordinator with the FSHD Society.
These are some of the voices of our leaders, chapter directors, and walk and roll leaders. If you want to join the army of these advocates, visit fshdsociety.org, because together we can do this. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. We are live here on Facebook, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of the show. You can chime in via email, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can also use the chat room feature on Facebook Live. No comments yet. Come on, folks. Chime in, because we're about to welcome in our featured guest of this episode. His name is Frank Hanley. He is the chapter director for FSHD Society in South Carolina. He also wants to talk about the way he handles the disease and how he works through things by using, well, I'm going to let him explain it. Welcome, Frank. How are you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I'm so glad that you could join us. I know we efforted for a while to kind of line things up to make sure that you had your chance to talk a little bit about, and I'm going to pronounce it hopefully not wrong, Qigong and Kung Fu and those other
That's
things
right.
that you use to help you out. But first, I think I want to build it up, right? I want to get to know you. I want our listeners to know maybe a little bit about yourself and your FSHD story.
Sure. Absolutely. So I first had signs of when I was about 18. I had some left side winging, and went to the doctor, who basically wrote it off as, well, I work in a grocery store and I'm lifting a lot, so muscles are overdeveloped on my left side, and that was kind of it. We left it at that. In retrospect, looking back, I realized that I had symptoms much earlier, but never realized what it was. I'm looking, probably I was 12, 13 years old. I had trouble blowing up a balloon. I had trouble doing a chin-up or pull-up on a bar. So now I realize that that was fun, too, but it was years and years later. I was around 30, I started practicing Kung Fu, and I noticed I had trouble holding up my left arm, and I'm not sure as I'm sitting here whether I had trouble with my right or not, so let's just leave it with my left. Then I started to limp. I couldn't do a toe raise. And I went to an orthopedic, and he did a bunch of tests, but I got no answers. And again, in retrospect now, I know that it wasn't a limp, it was a foot drop. And that was probably around when I was age 37. So I guess compared to some folks, I have a mild affliction versus some, I know a lot of folks with more severe, but has progressed. So around that time, I went to an MDA clinic because I wasn't getting an answer from the orthopedic, and my wife suggested we do that. So literally, the doctor examined me, left the room, came back in with a book, opened it up, showed me a picture of someone with wings, scapula, and said, "This is what you have." So that's where I was diagnosed. That was around 1993. Jump again. I had kids, I had the family. It wasn't really affecting me that much. Jump forward a little bit, 2016, 2017 timeframe. I started going, I had moved from New Jersey down to Maryland, and I started going to the MDA clinic at Johns Hopkins. They ran the whole gamut for me. And I had the genetic test done, came back type one. And that was the official confirmation. And that, at that time, I was already 60 years old. So through the life, I knew it, but it was never really actually confirmed until I was about 60. I was 60. And then recently, I know the Dr. Jones test, if folks are familiar with that, the Dr. Jones has been doing his test out in Reno. So my sister and brother were tested, and they both came back type 1 positive. And we had my mom tested also. My mom's 91. She's still around, so we were able to get her to do the test, and she came out negative. So we're a little curious there. My dad's gone, so we can't have him tested, but we think we know it's one of these oddball things. I don't know the right words for it. Some folks can probably correct me, but that's kind of my progression through. I found the FSHD Society last spring, 2019. I went to a meeting in Philadelphia because I stumbled across the website. I saw they had meetings. That meeting was 2 weeks away, away from there. Met Bill and his wife. When I moved to South Carolina, there was no group. And we started, I started it. I talked to Beth, and we kicked it off. And we actually had our launch in February. So
nice.
So that's from 12 years old to now, in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's like warp speed, when we break it down that quickly. But definitely at a young age, I mean, you knew, or you maybe saw signs. Now looking back in hindsight, like for me, I was like, oh, that's why I can't do push-ups. That's why I couldn't do, pull-ups. Or if I did, it was like, the very minimum. Nobody... I was always the lowest number in the gym class that achieved like 2, and other guys are pumping out, 15, So did you even know at 12 years old that there was just something that wasn't quite right?
No, I didn't, because I was able to do other things, I can't do a chin up, but I can do, 100 sit-ups or whatever. So, you could do from one thing to the other. So I really, you never put two and two together, I guess, when I was that young. And you don't have the internet. You don't have all this stuff. You can find out all this information so quickly. You talk to your parents, you talk to your friends, and that's as far as it goes sometimes. Or somebody knows somebody that might have something like that, So that's kind of the way it was, like I said, with the internet now, it's a lot easier to get a lot of misinformation too, so you really have to be careful.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, when you got a little older, obviously you started investigating it more. You said that first the doctor kind of blew it off then because you're lifting, doing that kind of work, it's just wear and tear.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I was 18.
Yeah.
Working in the grocery store. And, you know, you're lifting boxes, you're stocking shelves, you're always doing stuff up over your head. So that was kind of how we rolled. And again, if you're thinking about it, and you're looking at somebody from the front, when you lift your arms, your traps go up. So, it looks like it's an overdeveloped shoulder versus, you know, if you're standing behind and see the winging happening,
right.
It's a different perspective. So I guess it depends. And again, you know, this is years and years ago. I don't remember what that exam looked like, but
yeah,
you know, it was like, yeah, don't worry about it, you know. And then even later on, when I did get diagnosed, you know, the doctor's like, well, it's not gonna, you know, there's no cure, but it's not gonna kill you. So I mean, that was kind of the way he left it with me then too, right? You know, back in the '90s. Oh, okay, it's not gonna kill me. So, you know, go get married and have a family and carry on, right? So.
Yeah,
it's just kind of, yeah, I mean, everybody's got their story, and you know, it depends on who you go to. I was lucky to find the one doctor who, you know, had the book. You know, if she didn't have the book, we might not be talking about her. So
yeah,
that's the other thing. So that's, you know, that's where we are, and like I said, I guess I consider myself pretty lucky that. I'm still, you know, I'm still able to get around. I'm still able to do stuff, but I see the progression. I see it's in my hips now. I have trouble getting out of a chair. I have trouble climbing steps. Mm. So it is, you know, it's little by little. And now I'm more attuned to it. It's blatantly obvious what's going on to me now.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, like just struggling up a flight of stairs. But, you know, that's just the way it is now, whether we have that information available. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to talk to somebody that's 10 years older than me, and they're able to tell me, you know, here's what, you know, might be coming next.
Yeah.
And that's what I see with a lot of younger guys like yourself, is you have the opportunity to discuss that, you know, with someone like myself. I mean, I got another young fellow in our group here in South Carolina who's just diagnosed. So I can, you know, you can kind of brain dump on them. Here's what to do now, because for 10 years from now, you might not be able to do it.
Mm.
So you can kind of get, you know, impart some wisdom on them, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely have that conversation with them and forecast a little bit for them, even though it does, you know, affect everyone differently to some degree. It's still sharing your story and maybe what you've had to tackle, and then kind of saying, well, this is how I adapted, or this is how I moved through it, or whatnot. And I mean, you know, you went though from, you know, 1993, and then you said 2016, 2017. Is that was the time where you got the full workup, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I had one. I should interject that I had one additional checkup, if you will, in the mid 2000s, because my son, my older son, was playing baseball and he was complaining that his shoulder was bothering him. And I immediately went off in my head about the FSH. So we took him to the clinic and the doctor checked him and he was showing no signs. It ended up just being a sore rotator cuff, but, you know, we were on edge. Yeah, we were on edge for that. So, and I know you're a big baseball dad coach there too. Right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I do look at my boys as they move through the movements of baseball or other athletics, and if they hit a sore spot or a struggle moment, it's like, uh-oh, you know, is this a sign? You know, and I try to just go back to the fact that I was blessed to not know what I was dealing with at a young age, because I think I would have been protected too much. I think that they would have, they being my parents, you know, not have me so involved. I think that would have been their instinct. You know, oh, we must protect him and try to make sure he doesn't get hurt. He might be more susceptible to those things. And instead it was, yeah, sign him up for what he likes and, you know, play some high school sports. And, you know, and now I know why I did not get, you know, my full ride to college, you know, I'm just kidding. You know, that I wasn't a full athlete. I thought I'd be, right? You know, so it is that way. Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't know then, because then I could move through my life and I don't regret all those things because I got at least got to participate. Right. Right. So,
well, that's what I did. I let my kids know about the testing, but you know, it's up to them whether, because that's a life changing event.
It is.
Whether they have kids, I mean, they've got a lot to think about if they know. And to this point, you know, I just said, hey, you know, this test is out there if you want to do it, and I left it at that. It's up to them.
And then you mentioned that your sister and brother have it. Is that, did I have that down right?
Yeah, and they were pretty. My sister had an inkling for a while, and then recently it started to bother her a lot. So she went. I think she went to Dr. Jones, and then I had my mom and my brother did the testing at the same time. But this is late life. I mean, my brother is the youngest, and he's in his late 50s. So, they're very late on. And you know, again, you can. I don't see my brother that often. Even my sister, we're all, you know, geographically separated. But to see him, he's got that lean in the back. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
He tends to lean back when he's talking. And now that, you know, if you're not looking for it, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. So now that I said, and I saw him one day standing like that, and I said, you know, here's this test, do it, you know,
yeah,
because you got nothing to lose at this point in his life. And it's, you know, it could be useful for him to know.
Yeah.
Because when he starts to do things, you know, like, you know, we're all afraid of tripping and falling, right? Mm-hmm. That's our big fear now.
Yep.
Because you're older and it takes a longer time to heal. You fall when you're 20, you heal pretty quick. You fall when you're 60, it takes a long time.
right. Yeah, so you got to be a little more cautious. So it's maybe, yeah, better to know everything that's going on in your body, or at least as much as you can, by getting tested. Okay, do you have this? And let's put this on your radar, right?
Yeah.
So you can kind of get through it a little easier. So now, when you mentioned that you were then working with Kung Fu at a younger age, remind us, what age did you start getting involved with that?
So I started, I always liked it. I mean, and I'll again show my age, going back to like the old Green Hornet TV show with Bruce Lee when he was the Kato character. And that's where I got the bug. But, you know, growing up in that time frame with, you know, I wasn't able to take any kind of lessons. And I didn't really start. So the story was, my daughter was born in 86, and there was an article in a local newspaper. It was like a full page article about this guy in the next town who had a kung fu school and had all these pictures of him doing stuff. And I took it, I folded it up, and I put it on the side. A couple months later, I'm sitting there, you know, and I see this Bruce Lee movie comes on TV. So I pull that newspaper article out. And the next day I went down to this guy's school and I signed up. So that was kind of how that happened. And it's just, I just love doing it. It's something that you just love to do. So, I could do it 8 hours a day if I was didn't have to work. Work gets in the way of everything. Right. So that's something that I just love doing it. And then, you know, so I've got four kids. So, my daughter was born. And then my older son was born, and then I was still going to class. And then when the other two were born, I had to stop because they were just now, they were getting into youth sports and doing stuff. And like you coached, from when they were in, you know, eight years old all the way up to when they were playing. My boys both played like in the American Legion in high school.
Legion,
So they were, you know. So I mean, I was in, and the three of them were playing. So well, I mean, tonight we were in three different towns. So I don't know if you've experienced that fun yet, but so I had to put that on hold, and then I guess 2009, I started looking again. The guy who I had gone to was closed. He was out of business, or gone, or moved away. And I found somebody who was literally right down the street from me. And I started training with him. And actually, he was here in my house not a week ago. He stopped by. He was on his way to Florida, and we got a chance to see each other. We don't see each other that often. We talk all the time. But and he trained in Chinatown, New York, and he's like an encyclopedia of this stuff. And he's just a wonderful teacher. And so I can just sit and listen to him for hours because he just brain dumps on me. And that's like I said, you know, you're asking about, you know, how long, or, you know, we'll talk about how long. This is a lifelong learning process. I wish I started sooner because, like I said, he's been to the, Asia. He's trained over there with some of these Shaolin temple monk guys and stuff. So he's, wow. He's been around, for a while. And he's, like I said, he just doesn't teach it. He makes you understand it. And what it's doing. So it's a whole nother level with him. And I just enjoyed it. And then the backside of that is he gets what's wrong with me. So he knows I have limitations and he works within that and he pushes me to get, you know, do the best you can. That's always what he says, just do the best you can. Yeah. And he'll say, you're not doing the best you can. So he knows what I'm slacking to.
He holds you accountable, Frank. We're talking with...
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah. We're talking with Frank Hanley. He's the South Carolina Chapter Director for the FSHD Society, and we've been talking now about how Kung Fu, he's gotten into that, and then the next area I wanted to venture into then is then when did the Qigong start? When, you know, how are you still... It sounds like you're still doing the Kung Fu. Are they one and the same? Explain how they work together.
Sure. So the gentleman that my teacher's name's Tom. So if I say Tom, Sifu means teacher father, if you translate it. So Sifu Tom, I call him. He teaches the traditional style. So his teacher was from China. His teacher was this gentleman named Yi Chi Wei, Frank Yi. And Tom used to commute from New Jersey to Chinatown multiple nights a week just to go train with, so he's commuting two, three hours a night to go train for an hour in Chinatown, New York, just to give you the idea for, well, and I used to drive 4 hours from Maryland to New Jersey to go train with Tom. So, like I said, I could do it all the time. Anyway, to your question is the traditional school teaches the Kung Fu, the Qigong, what's called deep thought medicine, because if you're it's a martial art, so if you get hurt, you gotta fix yourself, right? And the lion dance and the dragon dance drum, you know, the for the celebrations. You always see the Chinese New Year, the lion dances and they're banging the drums and shooting off firecrackers and stuff. So traditional Kung Fu school, you learn all those skills. So in the first month of learning Kung Fu at the school was really just practicing Qigong. And I don't want to do that. You know, I want to just do Kung Fu. What do I need to know that for? And boy, was that a mistake, because it all wraps together, you know, but you don't see it. You know, I just want to do Kung Fu. What I got to do is Qigong stuff for. Because the Qigong works here is an internal energy art versus the Kung Fu, which is external. You know, Kung Fu, you're moving and hitting things. Qigong, you're relaxed and you're inside. It's very good for your organs and it's very good for your health and your immune system and everything else. So, so that's where I started. Doing it. And then it's not just this, and there's different exercises. Now, if you go down to YouTube and Google Qigong, and for anybody out there who's not sure, it's Qigong, and some people even say like Qigong, more of a S sound than a C sound. You'll get a million videos. And there's like, you know, so be careful if you want to try to do any of that stuff, because there's a lot of bad people out there doing, you know, what they think is something because they watched a video of somebody else doing it wrong. So just a warning for people if they want to go. But you will find a lot of information and a lot of exercises. So there's a quarter practice. So you start a practice and you learn first. Well, actually, let me take a step back. The name Qigong is really two words. Qi mm-hmm. is the word for energy.
Okay.
For your life energy, what makes your heart beat, your eyes blink, just your the energy that makes you, allows you to live. So that's the word qi, and then gong means work or practice. So qigong is energy work or energy practice, and it's the whole idea of it is to learn how to manipulate your body's energy. Hmm. Right? Your body's a big battery, right? So you learn to move that energy around. And I like to say to folks, because people say, oh, that's like this or that's like that. To me, it's like acupuncture, if you're familiar with acupuncture, without the needles. Right? So if you go to an acupuncturist, they're going to put needles in specific spots to bring energy into that area to help you heal or whatever the ailment you have. And Qigong is kind of the same thing. We're able to move energy around your body. And you do it all the time. You just don't realize it.
Wow.
You have meridians. They're called meridians. And those are the channels in your body that the energy moves through. And those meridians get clogged or constricted. And the Qigong helps to keep your qi flowing. And that keeps you healthy. And it helps build up your immune system. And that's one of the things, I started talking with someone about this months ago before the virus, right? And now with the virus, you want a strong immune system. And this is one way to get it. It's not going to be overnight. There's no magic pill here. Like I've been practicing for 10 years and I'm still learning. So I consider it a lifelong thing. And it really is breathing. Mm-hmm. And visualization and some stance work. So those are kind of the three things. And breathing is the most important part of it. I can spend hours sitting here with you talking about breathing. I do some videos I'll talk about a little later, and we talk about breathing. So just to bring this to focus, there's just for everybody out there, and make the quick list, the three things your body needs.
Okay.
What are the three things you need to live? You need food, you need water, you need air, and we'll throw shelter in there just for giggles, right? So how long can you live without food? Hmm. Anybody out there know the answer to that?
I don't know. A day?
Two maybe 3 weeks you can live without food.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right, depending. Right? So that's the how long can you live without water?
Three or four days. Okay.
3 or 4 days. How long can you live without shelter? If you're outside and it's cold and you don't have a coat on, you're not going to last too long, right? Hmm. So that's, let's say, about 3 hours if you don't have a shelter. How long can you live without air? 3 minutes.
Wow.
So that's why I focus on the breathing. Breathing is really important. And one thing that I shared with folks that I talked to this about is when I went to Hopkins about a year ago, I went for my checkup and I said to the doctor, I'm waking up with headaches. And he sent me for a breathing test. He told me that he was thinking the FSH was affecting my diaphragm.
Yeah.
And I wasn't breathing deep enough at night. I wasn't inhaling and exhaling because my diaphragm was weakening. So that scared me.
Yeah.
And I got with Tom and we worked on some exercises. We really ramped up the diaphragm breathing, which is what I do, belly breathing or diaphragm breathing, it's called. And I kind of kicked ass on the test. That was kind of like it wasn't the diaphragm wasn't the problem, but that scared me to think that, this could be, you can't breathe. You're not going to last too long.
Yeah.
Based on what I talked about. So did that kind of give you a little color there on where I'm at with this?
Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, it's fascinating because when you're talking about, I loved how you explained it. Number one, how the Qigong is an internal practice. You're working on that internal energy and the Kung Fu is external. So that really broke it down got me in the right headspace then, because then you're thinking, or I'm thinking right away, then is it similar to meditation?
Yeah, right. There is a part of it that is.
Okay. And obviously then the breathing helps.
That's where the, it's the breathing with the visualization. So, okay. So it's really not meditating, it's visualizing. And I'll talk about that a little more if you want, because like most folks with FSH, I can't lift my arms.
Right. Okay.
I can only lift them, I can't get up to parallel to the floor. I can get to maybe 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right. I can't get to 9 o'clock.
I'm doing it right now. Right. Yeah. We can't. Right.
Right? But close your eyes and visualize yourself standing there with your arms at 9 and 3. You can do it in your head. So as long as you can do it in your head, you're doing it right. And that's the way I look at it.
But as you're visualizing moving your arms in your mind, are you trying to do it then physically?
Yeah. But, you go as high as you can. But, and that feels, in my mind, feels like I'm at 12 and three, 9 and 3.
Yeah.
Whether I am or not, I don't care.
Hmm.
Is the point. And that's really what that's really what the visualization helps with, because if you can do it in your mind, then it really doesn't matter if you can physically do it or not, because in your mind you've beaten the FSH, because you're able to have your arms up.
Wow.
And even putting them up over your head. And I went through a whole thing with this muscle restriction versus range of motion. And one of the doctors in the the sequester camp was talking about the plane of gravity.
Okay.
And if you can't, I can see you're trying to lift your arms. So you can't lift your arms. You can't get to 9. Lay on the floor and do it. Now you can get to 12.
Huh.
Right? Because you took gravity out of the equation.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So you're not fighting the FSH on a daily basis. You're fighting gravity. Our fight is not with the disease as we're moving around through space here. Our fight is with gravity.
Wow. It's so obvious when you say that, Frank. We're talking with Frank Hanley here about Qigong and Kung Fu and the practices that he's using to help his fight with FSHD. Frank is also the chapter director in South Carolina. But the fact is that, you're blowing my mind a little bit here, because you're so spot on. You're right. We are like fighting gravity. And there's no question. Like, I've worked with a little bit with yoga, and I use a certain Sarah Beth Yoga on YouTube. A physical trainer recommended that. He's like, that's a good source. And then if you do it at home, you can kind of adapt it to what you're able to do. Some movers are easier than others. But man, when I think about it and I take gravity out of that situation in some of those movements, they are easier. So you're right. If you take away gravity, the resistance, all of a sudden you have a little more flexibility, So you're saying that the visualization here is going to help you work your body through those movements. What then is the long-term help effect of doing that practice, do you feel, as you battle FSHD here?
The long term is here's the big nut. The number one thing is that it helps with the immune system. My big thing is that I don't get sick, and I'll say that I don't get sick. I may get a sniffle now and then, but I don't get sick. I don't get the flu shot. I'm really not overly concerned about getting this COVID virus, but I'm not stupid about it either.
Right.
But I don't get sick. And again, let me back up and say this: this is not the quick fix. Take the pill and you'll be good. This is a daily practice. I do this every day. And that's the other thing. And because, and Tim, my philosophy on this is very simple. FSH doesn't take a day off. It doesn't take a vacation. It's always attacking us. So I can't take a day off either. And that's what drives me.
Wow. I'm writing that down. That is good motivational speech right there. It doesn't take a day off. We can't. So you're working on this daily. How much time do you spend on this practice in that time of the day? Is it hours? Is it minutes?
It's usually, if I can, I usually try to do an hour's work. If I don't have the hour, so again, you gotta do something. If you can't do an hour, do a half hour. If you can't do a half hour, do 10 minutes, do something. Because what happens is we get lazy. So, I don't do it today, and then tomorrow I don't do tomorrow, and all of a sudden I haven't done it for a week. So you have to do something every day, but I usually try to do it for an hour. And I really don't time it. I just go through, I have a routine that I do, and sometimes I do a little more. Instead of doing something twice, I'll do it three times. And sometimes I add a new routine in. And sometimes if I'm teaching, I get to do it two times a day. Mm. So that's even more fun.
Wow.
So it depends on, and again, it's this, you were talking about it earlier about, when you're introducing me about, being open-minded. This works for me.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work for somebody else, let them go hit tennis balls or, do what works for them.
Right.
This works for me. The other thing we're talking about gravity, just to throw it in here, is if you, and I've heard conversations about this too, and this, somebody, it might be an aha moment for somebody, is do, like I like to do the Kung Fu in a swimming pool, because the buoyancy lets me move around without, I've got a better range of motion because of the buoyancy in the water. Hmm. So between laying down and doing stuff, again, you're taking gravity out of the equation, and that makes things a little easier for your body to do stuff.
If someone wants to get into this practice more, even, those that are just hearing about us for the first time, but they're like, man, I got nothing to lose. I like what Frank's saying. It helps him. Maybe it'll help me. Where do they go? I mean, you mentioned about these videos that could be bad. So if we want to have them avoid those things, then what is the area or the target that they should be looking for if they're trying to find a resource to learn it?
So I'm glad to ask that question, Tim. So based on some conversations I've had like this one with you, I started a Facebook group called Qigong for FSHD. Mm-hmm. You could find it. I started it about a month ago. There's about 100 people that are signed up for it. So you sign up, you request to get into that, and I let you in. You have to answer one secret question. I can't tell you the answer. and then you have access to the videos. And the exercises that I do are specific for people with FSHD. It's from zero. So we'll get from zero to N over some course of time. And they're all seated. So folks have some, they're confined or whatever, they can still do them. So, and I try to put out a couple of videos a week. And I have yet to, we had this really crappy hurricane came through the other night, kind of screwed my schedule up. So I'm a little behind, and I apologize to anybody, and I appreciate everybody's, if you're on the call, I appreciate your patience. And I'm going to try to do like a Zoom now and then Q&A so people can get on and say, hey, I'm trying to do this, or I'm doing it this way. Is this right? Because again, what I found from the Qigong is you get more in tune with yourself. Hmm. You start to hear things, when you hear something wrong, like turning your neck, you hear that creaking sound.
Yeah.
In your neck.
Yeah.
When you bend down to pick something and you get that crack in your knee. Those are kind of simple examples, but you start to hear things and you understand, you get to understand your body a little better, especially the breathing. Because once you get the breathing going, and this is the other thing about the breathing, I'll give you the analogy of learning this Qigong is like learning to handwrite. You know, if I don't know anybody who had really good handwriting when they were first learning to write. Mine, I think I was about 18 before you could read my writing, but that's what it is. You got to take baby steps and what I call baby steps, not baby steps, baby breaths, and you learn it. And if you think you're going to learn it in one sitting, you know, don't bother. So, you know, that's just a thing.
Yeah. So this is, like you said before, it's not a quick fix. It's not a pill. It's a practice. This is a discipline. This is right. Something that you work out and then see results.
Right. And it's daily. You know, I was teaching a class and somebody said, you know, when do you do this? And I was like, well, what part of daily don't you understand? Right. So.
I love your style, Frank. I really do. But yeah, I just love it. And the fact that you teach this, I'm definitely going to get more in tune here with that Facebook group and get on board with that, because I'm really interested in this, especially when you got me on also in the fact that it helps our immune system. I mean, why wouldn't I try this? I mean, even if it's that is one of the big benefits. I don't like getting sick,
no one does. And the other thing, you know, you asked me and I really didn't answer it was where does the Kung Fu fit into this also?
Right.
So the Kung Fu is more for coordination and balance. If I can try to, because there's a lot of stance work, there's a lot of stepping. And I say Kung Fu is a very cerebral thing. You think it's not just waving your arms around. You need to be thinking all the time. Because if you're in class and you're doing some punching drills and you're not paying attention, you're going to get hit. So you don't want to do that. You want to pay attention and you want to be thinking about what you're doing. So I use the Kung Fu for coordination. Then again, going back to, you know, I'll step back. And when I went to Hopkins the first time and I met the doctor there, anybody in Baltimore, go see Dr. Rhoda, Dr. Ricardo Rhoda. He's at the MDA clinic in Johns Hopkins. Great guy. Great to work with. He's in the neurology department there. Anyway, I just plug him because I just enjoyed. He was very helpful for me. So I'll be sending some business if I can. But he, you know, he went and checked me out, and I told him about Kung Fu and Qigong, and he was like, he looked at me like, huh? You know, what's that? And then when we were all done with my exam, he goes, whatever you're doing, don't stop doing it, because you're like head and shoulders in better shape than other people who are in, you know, your same age and the same kind of condition that you have. So it definitely helps if I can have a, you know, a PhD, MD tell me that, you know, it's doing some good. So,
yeah.
So that's the other thing. So to go back to your other thing too, yeah, hook up with that. And then if you want to, you can, you know, people can email me through the society page. They can go to the South Carolina chapter page and they can email me there. I'm on Facebook. They can go to that Qigong or can go to the Facebook. So there's a variety of ways to get to me. The best thing to do is get on the Qigong for FSHD group. And once you're in that, you get access to the videos and you get more direct access to me, because we kind of chat within that thing too. People have questions, and when somebody has a question, somebody else always has a question too, which is a cool thing.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great way to keep connected with it and get into this practice. Well, thanks, Frank, for joining us and sharing this. This was awesome. Mind-blowing for me. I love it, and I'm really glad that we could have you on. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you and thanks everybody for tuning in. And Tim, thanks for your time. I'm glad we're finally able to do this. And
and
maybe if there's enough interest, we could do a follow on, because I could talk about this for, you know, I can put some more details together. This is really scratching the surface.
Absolutely.
So, you know, folks want more detail, they can please get a hold of me. I'd be happy to help and work with them.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. I think we should keep plugging this Facebook group, and then let's have you back on, and we'll build up with it, and but you can dive a little deeper. I think that sounds like a great idea.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. That's Frank Hanley, South Carolina chapter director of the FSHD Society, talking about Qigong and Kung Fu, breaking it down for us, as he said, just scratching the surface. Huge, though. I mean, you know, I'm big on trying to figure out how to get my body to move better with less pain, how to stay healthier longer, how to fight this. You can hear in Frank's voice how he enjoys talking about this practice and how he believes in it. Great sense of humor as well. Love talking with him. So that's awesome. Thanks, Frank, for being a part of today's episode, being the featured guest. I mean, so cool. So cool. If you have questions, right, about that subject, about what Frank was just talking about, you can definitely email him. I think it's the South Carolina chapter is linked on fshdsociety.org. You can email him through there. Plus, there's the group, the Qigong for FSHD on Facebook. And I believe it's spelled Qigong, I believe. But search that, find it, ask to be part of the group, answer that magic question. I'm going to do that when the show is done and make sure I'm part of that group. I think it's huge because all the time I ask, what is worse, right? The mental side, the physical side. This is something that attacks both. This is something that helps both with this daily practice, and it's daily, which might scare some people off, but if it gives you what you need, why wouldn't you do it, right? It's awesome. Okay, before we let everybody go, as we start to close up shop, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's coming up on fshdsociety.org and some of the events. Now, we know about the big virtual walk and roll in September on the 12th. We'll be carrying that via Zoom. So that's going to be great, and it's going to work out really well. We got the kinks ironed out, and we're all set to roll with that. Let's see. Tomorrow looks like on the 6th, it's the St. Louis virtual chapter meeting, August 6th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Central Time. That's my time zone. So join for that if you like. That actually sounds like fun to join. The FSHD Society Radio Show is back next week, and this is going to be one of our reoccurring guest segments. This is going to be about mindfulness. And if you check out the calendar page and the events page on FSHD Society on the 12th, we're going to talk about mindfulness and what that means with dealing with FSHD. So we're kind of dealing with the emotional side as we welcome in Jen Eggert to talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to open up that show then to you, the listeners. If you have questions for her, or questions for me for that matter, that we can help you guide through some of the struggles that you're having, even if it's even the COVID thing with the anxiety that goes with it. I know that's something I'm going to definitely talk to her about as well. So join us for the show next week as we start to incorporate some of our reoccurring guests that are going to come each month. And then Jen will be here on the second Wednesday of every month, bringing that kind of subject to each of those shows. If we look forward then into the month, on the 15th of Saturday, it's a Los Angeles virtual chapter meeting. That's pretty sweet. Looks like 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. So join them for that. And then the Bay Area has theirs on the 16th of August, and that's on a Sunday. Looks like it's going to be 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific. And then we move forward to the 19th of August, and that'll be another FSHD Society radio show. And I wanted to talk about this one because there's another reoccurring guest, as we bring in the exercise fitness side with Bill and Mitch, who used to do the sequester series, you know, physical camps, right? Getting your body moving. They're going to join us the third Wednesday of every month talking about the physical side. So more in store as we keep growing the show, growing the platform. Really excited to bring all that to you. Didn't get a lot of people chiming in this show. That's okay. We'll get you on the next time, as we will be back at our regular scheduled time, 8 p.m. Central, 9 East, next week. Until then, thanks for joining me here on the FSHD Society Radio Show. If you want to get in contact with me, you can do so at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.